It's time for the Phenology Show, and as you can tell from my voice, I am a reeking cesspool of pestilence and disease. So don't come to the studio today. Actually, I've been better, but it's been an exciting week nonetheless. I have had a number of events this week that really, really got me excited for spring, and I know you're excited to find out what they are, so I'll just get right to it. First of all, last week on about the 16th, I ran down to the end of the driveway. No, sorry, the only thing running on me is my nose. I walked down to the end of the driveway, and the dog and I paused there, and I took my binoculars, and I looked up into the eagle's nest that is quite visible from right there, and Mama was up there, or Papa. You can't really tell without a program, and they were, it was sort of rearranging things. I don't think it definitely wasn't sitting on eggs. It didn't have that look about it. It was up. You could tell it was standing in the nest, and usually when they're sitting on eggs, they get pretty low and nestle themselves down on top of the eggs. But it was up there and probably doing a little bit of housekeeping, getting ready for the season that is about to start. So that was pretty exciting, and I kind of was making note of that. That's a little bit early, but it'll be about 3 weeks before the eagles really start to hunker down and brood some eggs up here. If you are one of those people who checks out eagle cams on the internet, you can probably find any number of nests where there are eagles at various stages of development. There are some with young eagles that are already hatched, and there are some with eagles who are sitting on eggs. And there are some where there are no eggs yet at all. So the full gamut out there if you're into that sort of thing. My friend Jeff Phoenix was out, and he's helping me to plan a cut in my tree farm. And while he was out there the other day, he noticed a snowshoe hare, and I have not seen a snowshoe hare on my property in probably 20 years, so I was pretty excited. I went out and kind of searched around for it the other day, but I did not see it, unfortunately, but I trust Jeff, and if Jeff says he saw a snowshoe hare, then there was a snowshoe hare there. On my way up to the spruce bog the other day, I noticed a female pine grosbeak on the highway, and she quickly flew off and landed up in a tree along the edge of the road there. And then on February 18th, I was I'd just gone outside, and it was just after dark. The sun was down. There wasn't much light in the western sky. It was probably 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. And all at once, I heard a saw-whet owl. And they have a rather unique call, one that's pretty easily identified. Sounds a lot like one of those backup alarms on a truck. So if you're outside in the dark, just after sunset or early in the morning, or I suppose even in the middle of the night, I mean, they're pretty active all night long. And you hear something that sounds a little bit like this. That's a rather poor imitation, but it'll get you there. It's a repetitive single note, and that is the saw-whet owl. And last night I was visiting my mother and my sister, and when I got home, there was a note on my phone. I just missed a call from Dallas Hudson, who is a phenologist. There it is. And that can go on for quite a while. They can carry on that song for quite some time. As I was about to say last night, as I was when I got home, I had a note on my phone that Dallas Hudson, another phenologist who lives in the Akeley area, had heard a saw-whet owl over there as well. And he also mentioned that he had a Canada goose or Canada geese. Usually that's a kind of a mid-March sort of an occurrence. And so we kind of watch for them to be here more toward mid-March. And I'm not sure if I didn't get a chance to talk to Dallas about the Canada goose, but I don't know if there was just a single, it could have come out of a river nearby, or if this one was part of a flock and was a part of migration. But that will be happening very, very soon. I had a couple of notes on snow, and over the past few days, you realize we've had some pretty darn warm weather, and it has really wrecked havoc with the snow. And out on the fields by my house, out on Blue Heron Drive, the dirt or the grass that was covered up last fall when the snow fell is now visible again, and that probably isn't the final word on that. I expect we'll have more snow cover that back up in the next few weeks before we actually uncover it and move on into spring. But it certainly was reminiscent of 1990. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but the phenology note for the day yesterday talked about skating on February 20th, 1990. The weather had warmed and the snow had melted on top of the lakes, and then it cooled off and all that water froze. And I am hopeful that the same thing will happen again this year, because that's always a sort of a second chance for us lake skaters. And boy, the unfettered openness of a lake just covered in clear ice is something that's hard to turn your back on. It's such a nice, nice thing to do. Pardon me. And then I was driving down the river road coming into town the other day, and a raven got up and kind of flew from one side of the road to the other, and I naturally was watching it, and my eyes focused on a second raven that was following the first one, and the second raven was carrying a stick in its bill, and that is a sign that it is time to start building nests. And if you're a raven, this is the time of year when you start to build your nests, and it won't be very long before you'll actually be putting out some new family. Now, ravens typically stay in the same nest year in and year out, but if something happens in that nest, if something calamitous happens in that nest, they will abandon it and never come back to it. And I know that from personal experience, because I had a raven's nest in my pine plantation and had it located and spent several years enjoying the little family squabbles and feedings and all of the things that go along with a raven's nest. And then one year, 2012, I believe it was, we got really warm weather. And in mid-April, I think it was around the 16th of April, we got a huge snowstorm, and the temperature dropped to like 28. And then the next day it was 26. So we got a foot of snow, and then we got 28 and 26. And the ravens left that nest, and they have not been back to that nest since. They're still in the area because I see them all the time, but I haven't been able to find their nest. They're pretty clever about keeping those things out of sight. On the 19th, I was up about 6 in the morning. I was outside, and I heard a single loud bark not far from the house. And I kind of thought, what the heck was that? And the dog and I kind of looking off in that direction. And boy, it wasn't only just a couple of seconds. And all of a sudden, there was a huge, huge concert of coyotes talking back and forth and saying all sorts of braggadocio things and just really making a scene there. And after they paused for just a second, I could hear the bald eagle from the eagle's nest, and she was just kind of chipping in her own two cents. So not sure what all that was about, but it was pretty interesting. Lots of things going on. Talked with Ed Dallas, not to be confused with Dallas Hudson. Ed Dallas down in Deerwood, and Ed reported that over the weekend there were suddenly two porcupines in his tree. And porcupines are really antisocial. They don't hang out amongst, like, you won't see two porcupines together very often. And in fact, when they gather together like that, when you do see two adult porcupines together, usually it's for the purpose of making whoopee. And then they quickly depart and go their separate ways. But porcupines don't suffer much company. Even, you know, in some cases, you know, the females of certain groups will gather together. But that is not the case with porcupines. Porcupines are much more apt to be solitary. In fact, they prefer the solitary life. So looks like Ed might have, increased the porcupine population down in his neighborhood. We don't know for sure, but we can gather a little bit along that line whenever you see a couple of porcupines together. He did also mention that the scat below the tree where the single porcupine had been living for quite some time was quite voluminous, he said. There were lots and lots of little pellets down there, which made us both wonder if you got a team of porcupines together, could you, like, heat your house with their scat? Because it's basically sawdust, and if you had a pellet stove, there's no reason to think you couldn't burn those things. But anyway, maybe you'd like to try and experiment with that. And while we're talking about Ed, he mentioned, too, that the Cardinals were singing their What Cheer song. And so the Northern Cardinals have started to sing, and you should be listening for that. It's quite a spectacular song, and I think you can probably catch a drift of it here if we have a song of the Northern Cardinal. We'll see if we can find one and play it for you while we're talking along here about them. But this is the time of year when the Cardinals start to sing, and this is what it sounds like. So that's one of their songs. They also have another song that's kind of a what cheer, what cheer, what cheer, what. So, yeah, like that. So listen for the Cardinals, and they are very showy when they are in their courtship mode. I've had lots of stories from people who will listen to the show over the years, Cardinals sitting on the side of their car and admiring themselves in the mirror or going to battle with themselves in a mirror. So listen and watch for Cardinals. This is the time of year when they begin to talk. Trumpeter swans are starting to move around. We heard notes on the talkback show, and Ed said that he saw some trumpeter swans flying around in his area, and KAXE KBXE Season Watch page had mentioned some trumpeter swans out exploring, probably looking for new open water, like they want to get back into their native, you know, they like the smaller lakes with shallow water and new food sources. So they hang out on the rivers and they start exploring this time of year. The trumpeter swans don't really migrate in the sense that, you know, robins migrate or red-winged blackbirds migrate. They were introduced into Minnesota, reintroduced into Minnesota in about 1983, and ever since then, their population has really, really expanded, so it's kind of cool, and we see a lot of them, but they were never trained to migrate south, so they just go to wherever they can find open water, Sometimes it's around Monticello, Minnesota. Sometimes it's on the Mississippi River further south. Sometimes it's on the Mississippi River up here. There are some over by Cohasset, and there are always some in the Brainerd area that I know of, and some in the Bemidji area as well. So trumpeter swans are always here, but this time of year they're getting out and they're starting to explore and looking at the smaller area lakes, hoping that they'll open up soon. Final note for this week. Over the weekend, several sightings of bats. And this is never a good sign because bats live on the edge all winter long. They hibernate. They depend on their fat resources and reserves to get them through. And they have to have absolutely perfect temperature. It has to be very close to freezing, but never go below freezing. And they have to have a lot of humidity because they lose a lot of moisture as they breathe. Each breath out takes a little warm air out of them and takes a little bit of moisture out. So they have some pretty strict requirements for their hibernation. And this time of year, if a bat awakens and emerges, of course, there's nothing for them to eat. There's absolutely no food out there and no insects that are around. And so these bats that get rousted, it might be that they have that white nose syndrome. It might be that they were just upset by somebody or something and got up and went moving about. But trust me, a bat around this time of year is probably not a bat that's going to be flying around in the summertime because it's so their fat reserves are so marginal to begin with that when they wake up like this, it takes a lot of energy to wake up and fly around, and they just burn themselves out. So hopefully most of the bats are still sleeping. That would be the best. That's our phenology show for this week. Hope to hear from you this week with observations, comments, or questions. We always enjoy hearing from you guys. Thanks for listening.
You can sign up for a phenology podcast. Go to our website, kaxe.org. You can find phenology there as well.